steadfast he was about praying, but then also the action after it.
Right.
Because he prayed for all, you know, for the strength, but then he went and spoke to the king to get permission to go back and build the wall.
Yeah.
He prayed about, you know, leading the people, and then he took over the reins for, I think it was governor. And so it was a lot of this thing of like, you know, it's really easy, church ease it, right? Of like, I'll pray for you.
Right.
Well, praying, do some actionable thing. You know, it's easier. He's like, oh man, I'm just having a rough time. I'll be praying for you. Welcome back, guys. This is another Uncommon podcast. We are still unplugged.
Still unplugged.
So we figured we'd roll out the old reliable of where you at in the Bible. So it's been a little bit since we've talked about where we're at. I do find it funny whenever we have these things. We have to like wait a certain amount of time because for our chronological thing, you know, we're kind of in that book for a while.
Right.
It's a really short
one. Right.
So, but we do. I have one. Me and Heather are doing then what I'm doing with some guys on Wednesday, but you guys were doing one on Saturdays as well as every day, right?
Right. We just finished one. I forget the title
of
the
thing.
It's Let Go, Let God. And we just finished the last one. We do every Saturday morning. We do one after breakfast, and it always turns into at least that topic there was, you know, application.
Yeah.
Right. Do we trust God enough? And so Mom had said that, you know, when you had mentioned something about the box thing, I said, okay, let's try another one for you.
Yeah.
I said, let's make a list. And I want you to write down, the title is Things God Can't Control. And then I want you to make a list of those things. And if you can put one of those things, one on that list, then you feel free to worry about it. She's like, well, I don't like that one. I was like, yeah, I didn't think you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you said you're in Nehemiah with your guys?
Yes, so Wednesday we finished Jonah, rocking the Jonah shirt. We're in Nehemiah right now. We were just kind of going through some books maybe that we haven't gone through before kind of as a group, and we were talking about this earlier that I really haven't had a pastor go through Nehemiah specifically.
Yeah.
Kind of jumping around a little bit, oddly enough, one of the churches that we've done work for did go through Nehemiah, but we were not part of that church. So
right.
It was funny seeing the little bit of the graphics and sermons and stuff, but we're going through Nehemiah. We're doing about two chapters a week. We tried doing one. This wasn't enough, you know.
Yeah.
But it's been interesting reading through it because it's more of an account of him, you know, trying to rebuild the wall. But it's kind of from his perspective, like, I did this, I went to the king, I spoke to the king, which is not how Jonah was written. Jonah was, you know, Jonah wasn't saying, oh, I'm upset kind of thing. It was more just about Jonah and his things. But it was really cool to see, like, how, like, fervent his prayers were of the beginning of, like, he heard about the devastation of the wall and just the state of his brothers. And just how bad things were, and his immediate reaction was praying to the Lord for this, to guidance, to have the strength to go help and rebuild the wall. And so we were talking about as a group of like, you know, is that often our first reaction to something going wrong or getting bad news, like, you know, losing a job, you know, losing a house, having to move, losing a loved one, is often your first response to pray about it? Usually not. And so that's been a huge thing of just how steadfast he was about praying, but then also the action after it.
Right.
Because he prayed for all, you know, for the strength, but then he went and spoke to the king to get permission to go back and build the wall.
Yeah.
He prayed about, you know, leading the people, and then he took over the reins for, I think it was governor. And so it was a lot of this thing of like, you know, it's really easy, church ease it, right? Of like, I'll pray for you.
Right.
Well, praying, do some actionable thing. You know, it's easier. He's like, oh man, I'm just having a rough time. He's like, I'll be praying for you. It's like, I'll be praying for you. You want to get some coffee later this week, or, you know, need some help around the house kind of thing? I think oftentimes we use the prayer thing as like, kind of like, ooh, this conversation makes me feel a little comfy.
A little virtual hug.
I'll pray for you. I'll give it a thumbs up and I'll walk away, that kind of thing. And so that's been our Wednesday mornings. And then, me and Heather going through a chronological. We are still in the thick of it with David. David's children have lost the plot right now.
Oof.
Yes. Tamar has just hit that storyline of Absalom and Amon. I think. Mm-hmm. Amnon. I'm gonna butcher these names. I'm gonna apologize in advance, but Absalom, he goes away. He's trying to take over right now, and so he gathers all the people, and then David has to kind of like scurry away and run away.
Oh yeah.
And then they're fighting, and then Absalom gets killed, and it's interesting to hear or see David go through this, you know, all back from Bathsheba, of Lord saying there will be, your household will be in blood, and all these fights kind of stemming from that sin.
Right.
And so we're in there. What's interesting is during all of this, it's peppering in Psalms, and there are some Psalms where he's just crying out to the Lord.
Oh, sure.
And there's other ones where he's like, you know, Lord is my rock. He is everything. He is my shepherd. Mm-hmm. And just interesting to see him be able to have those kinds of feelings and thoughts during some pretty dark times. I mean, it doesn't say, but I imagine all of that going on with his children probably crushed him quite a bit.
Yeah, you can see David kind of go through the ebbs and flows of all of our emotions. Mm-hmm. I mean, not all of us are plotting murder for Bathsheba, but you can kind of see that in Psalms that David might be in the beginning of the Psalm, he's angry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's frustrated, he's sad or whatever, crying out to God, or even like, you know, almost like accusing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half of that Psalm, he's praising God, right?
Yeah.
Or it might go from the next Psalm over, and so you can kind of see, kind of like he's Old Testament Peter. Very emotional, sometimes hot-headed, doing things he may not should be doing, and but still, man after God's own heart. You mentioned about, do we go to prayer as our first thing? So, you know, if you've ever been in business before, you know that you should be praying about a bunch of things, but also about your business as mm-hmm. well. Wisdom and this and that. And so every once in a while, you know, just we're in a world of change. Mm. And while you're waiting on change, change is happening. And so there are very, very rare times when I'm like, I'm kind of sweating this. And there's one was this morning for a little bit. And I remember visually, I remember thinking, oh, I'm taking this to the throne. Like, kind of like, I'm going to tell.
I'll show you,
mister.
I'm going to tell on you.
I went to the throne. I said, I believe it's right there. I said, that is yours to do. I'm not touching it. I'm out of here, you know. And so, I do think that when the situation is right, I think people are motivated to go straight to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Bad health report, a job issue. Money, whatever it is. When the check engine light comes on, I'm sure the floodgates open for prayer.
Lord, please let me get on.
Oh, Lord. as far as where I'm at in our chronological, we're in 1 Kings. And like I told you before this, Solomon is getting his gold on. Everything's gold. King Solomon, what you want for lunch today? Goldburger laced, covered with gold. Everything. I'm reading it, I'm listening to it, and I'm like, that's covered in gold. Pure gold. Not just pure gold, it's some type of gold, right? Some like, you know, Ashranian gold. I'm like, I won't know what that is, but apparently it's better gold than normal gold. Or it's like the cherubim was like the wings were 5 cubits. And of course, in my mind, I'm going, 5 cubits is a pretty good size. I think a cubic is like 3 foot. So it'd be 15 foot for a wing. Guess what? Wait for it. Gold. some was gold covered.
Like plated. Yeah.
I'm not quite sure how he says it, but some of the gold covered and some like just pure gold.
Right.
And my realist side says, from a logistical standpoint, I'm like, are they just gold everywhere? And like rocks are made of gold?
Where I've stumbled and I found more gold.
To do all of this, I mean, because it's not like, you know, I'm making a ring. No, I'm making you know, a table mm-hmm. of gold. And so it is amazing to see that something that we would might deem as precious be used in any of the construction mm-hmm. to resemble the temple of God.
Right.
And do such a poor job mm-hmm. of representing that. It's the best we can do. You know, like, it's diamond encrusted, gold plated, all that kind of stuff. That's what the streets are mm-hmm. made of in heaven, John said. And so it's interesting to see that perspective in First Kings. Their best thing was gold.
Yeah.
And and well, I was teasing, I said, it's a good thing they didn't have gold spray paint, because if you just stood still too long, Solomon, gold, just everything. I mean, it's heavy. It's a heavy metal. So it makes you wonder, like, you know, you've seen in Ten Commandments and all these, you know, necklaces mm-hmm. and wrist bracers and mm-hmm. stuff. Not great for battle, but for adornment.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder how much gold was Solomon wearing, too.
Well, I mean, when the Israelites ransacked Egypt, right? I mean, they had so much gold that they had told, like, when they were taking up offering for building the temple and the tabernacle and all those pieces back then, they had to turn people away, like, all right, stop. We got too much.
Too much gold. We got too much gold.
Has Solomon done the, we'll split the daughter in half?
He did that earlier, last week.
I always love that thought process of the idea that when two women are fighting over it, one of them, even remotely, would be like, yeah, let's just cut her in half. Like, what kind of headspace you got to be in and be like, nah. If I can't have her, nobody's having her. Cut her down the middle.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, it's obviously, in hindsight, it's wise, because the mother would be like, I wouldn't want my son mm-hmm. or daughter harmed. So I'd rather her be alive and in your care mm-hmm. than dead to prove a point.
Right.
So I get the rationale. It makes you wonder if that was ever used elsewhere. Mm. We don't know about.
Right.
And that was like, careful. Solomon tends to cut things in half.
We're going to fight over this cow. You know what? Why don't you just keep it?
Steaks.
Can I just have some milk when it's ready or whatever?
All right. We kind of brush past that thing. And if a person brand new was reading the Bible for the very first time and they got to that, or think back to when I was a kid being maybe reading the Bible and being taught that in class, they probably didn't go into that mm-hmm. but they did. I could see the horror.
Yeah.
What, they're cutting people in half, that kind of thing. So that's where we are right now. It's the gold part of it.
Yeah, I know. So Tuesday nights is our Bible study with our entire life group. That's all the couples. And they were just in First Kings. It was when, I always get them confused. I know they're different, but I always get the names confused. Elijah, who had
Elijah and Elijah.
Who had the kill me now, Lord, I'm too tired for this. And then he gave him food and he took a nap and he felt better.
Now I'm going to say it, and everybody's watching this.
The other one.
All six people watching, and they're going to say, it's the other one, that bald-headed guy.
I think it's Elijah, isn't it?
Elijah was the one that was taken up into the chariot of fire.
Okay, so I think it was Elijah.
Elijah then. I'll have to look this up now.
So they were talking about the previous chapter was when he has the kind of like sacrifice fight with the Baal worshippers, and he's making fun of them like, you know, maybe he screamed louder, maybe he's napping, maybe he's in the bathroom, and then he pours the water over his altar and the fire burns it up. And like the next chapter, Jezebel's trying to kill him mm-hmm. and he runs off in the wilderness and he's like, kill me now, Lord, this is too much, no one's listening to me, that kind of thing, and then takes a nap and eats and then he's fine. But just with the whole conversation was about how quickly you go from overwhelming victory like, you know, just showing these people that your idol is nothing compared to my God, and then immediately going, I'm done, I went out, I just can't deal with this anymore. And how often do you flip-flop between those two things?
Sure. I mean, how many... I'm sure we've all been at churches, pastor does an altar call. I mean, you can almost hear... I mean, if somebody does an altar call, you start hearing people zipping up their Bibles or closed net purses, unwrapping candy wrappers, kind of like, oh, is this
toward the end? They're calling the Mexican restaurant. I'd like a table for four.
We're wrapping up soon, yes. But how many times they make that altar call and no one comes up? Now, they may do it in the foyer later on, talking to someone, but it's a rarity. And so if you based it on how many came to Christ right there when you asked, you're going to be probably disappointed, very frustrated, because, you know, I think I heard someone say, and this can be totally wrong, but it takes about 13 times for someone to be exposed to the gospel before they're ready to make a decision.
Yeah.
Hearing it, making service, hearing on the radio, someone mentioning to them, they're maybe reading a pamphlet or whatever, right? So, yeah, it's difficult to... try to place some ROI on the moving of the Holy Spirit, right? Because sometimes we're in the way,
right?
And so, you know, Paul said, Apollo plants, Paul waters, right? We all have our role.
Right.
Maybe your role is not at the moment of them coming to salvation.
Yeah.
You could be there just to plant the seed.
Yeah, I mean, and I've heard both sides of that. Some people get really frustrated because, like, I've been beaten with this person, I've been praying for this person, and I just do not see any progress, and they get really frustrated. And, again, it's like, not on you. Maybe it's someone down the road that needs to be the kind of the turning point for that.
Or they go the opposite way. You've been praying about this. Really kind of, you almost got like hit a moment where, hey, we got to stop talking about this because they're getting upset and they've asked us to stop mentioning it. And then you see that they're further away from Christ today than they were when you started praying for them. Maybe that person is never going to come to Christ. It is your free will to do so. And so that's not our job.
Yeah, I think that it should be, not for everyone, but it should be that kind of lifting of a burden that, you know, is our job to spread the word. It's not our job to convert.
Right. That's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. That's entirely Him. In spite of whatever words, whatever magical formula my brain goes, yeah, these right words in this order will win. In spite of all that, that's the Holy Spirit. That's not what I do, not what I'm saying, not how I'm acting, any of that kind of stuff. So, you know, take that for, you know, it's not all on you.
Sure. Sure. Everybody's going to react differently. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe that, just tell a knock-knock joke to 10 people. Your responses are going to range.
Yeah.
From your grandchild who loves them to the older people who roll their eyes at you.
I heard that 10 times already.
Oh, with the jacks. So, okay. Well, that's where we are. If you want to share where you are with us, with where you are in the Bible, what you're reading, what you're getting out of it, that'd be great. Leave it in the comments. Be sure to check out uncommon.org for content like this, whether it be podcasts or devotions or everything in between, at uncommon.org. And we want to thank one of our sponsors, Studio 490 Digital Marketing, has always been at the center of Uncommon to develop some of the content and all the things that you see online. So be sure to check out that. And other than that, be in the Word. Stay uncommon. Joshua, hit him with it.
If you're going to be something, be uncommon.